Welcome to Season 3 of The Commons, a podcast featuring researchers, innovators, artists, entrepreneurs, and community builders who are improving the human condition in your own backyard and around the globe. I'm your host, Tom Osha. If you've listened to any episode of this podcast, you do know we focus a lot on innovation districts, the spatial geographies where talent and ideas come to cluster and connect. The Association of University Research Parks is a member-driven organization, and it counts among its membership research parks and innovation districts across the globe who have as their anchor research universities and academic medical centers. This robust organization of several hundred districts comes together once a year in a different city around the world to exchange ideas and best practices in the industry. This year, they're in Toronto, Canada for the 2022 International Conference. They were kind enough to invite the Commons to come and speak with some of their members. So our first episodes of Season 3 will be interviews with park leaders from around the world. I hope you enjoy. Welcome to the Commons. I'm Tom Osha, and again, we are coming to you from the Association of University Research Parks annual conference, this year in Toronto, Ontario. And sitting with me this afternoon is Mark Romney. He is the Chief Industry Alliance Officer for the University of California, Davis, and one of the chief architects of the concept known as Aggie Square. Mark, welcome to the Commons.
Tom, great to be with you. Thank you.
Great to have you. So let's have an update. We talked a year ago at AURP, and at that time, Aggie Square was still on paper. That is no longer the case, right?
That's right. It was in February they broke ground. So at this point, we're the foundations and the structure of the floors are starting to go up. So looks by next spring or maybe around April of 2023, they'll be the topping off for the at least the first two buildings, which is Life Science, Technology Engineering, and the Lifelong Learning Building.
Reminding us, this kind of comes in a couple of phases, right?
It's pretty much, it was designed as one phase. Mm-hmm. We've got about two Life Science buildings that are being built. The idea with the second Life Science building, there are certain industry partners that we're in discussions with now that may have a different requirement of floor-to-floor height and things like that, so that we didn't get too far ahead and actually limiting the capacity or potential or flexibility of the other building. So right now, the Lifelong Learning, which is really the home to university's, continuing professional education, educational components, a lot of the university and industry and that are in technology, digital health, mm-hmm. aspects like that, and the convening sort of the Wexford innovation space that's being built that really creates this innovation ecosystem. And then the first of the two lab buildings is the Life Science Technology Engineering Building East, which is really about 60% university.
Okay.
A lot of our anchor programs, yep, of maker space to flexible laboratory spaces, surgical skills, and other aspects. So.
Okay. And then to be followed by the second lab building.
Which that'll, yep, come up. The second lab building, again, is another about 300,000 square feet. We'll focus more on biomanufacturing, cell and gene therapy, some of the food as medicine, precision medicine focused areas, metabolomics, things like that.
And all of this is around Central Plaza, Aggie Square, right?
It is, yeah. So yeah, we, when the Chancellor renamed it, we figured we had to create the plaza, mm-hmm, to identify as the Aggie Square. So all of the buildings in it as Wexford Designs is really bringing so that all doors empty and are accessed from this town square, basically, and connecting the buildings so that the basic scientist is running into the digital health or computational biologist. So it's an exciting and engaging sort of choreographed collision environment.
And there's also, if I remember, there is student housing that is part of this because there's a program called Quarter at Aggie Square where this is actually part of the academic program, right?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was a way for, getting undergraduates, really the freshman and sophomore that normally don't get exposure to industry and to entrepreneurship and other programs, and on the Sacramento campus, which is sort of the health campus. So getting those undergraduates, spending at least a quarter, and we're finding now that a lot of these undergraduates are saying, well, I may just want to stay there year-round, because it's sort of a live, learn, work environment.
Yeah.
Around the companies, they can get internships early. you know, a lot of the companies love it because they're able to tap these kids as freshmen and sophomores and not wait until they're seniors where they've already had three internships at a company they're going to go on to. So.
Oh, interesting. And just to remind listeners who may not be aware, so the main campus is in Davis, which is what, about 15 miles from Sacramento?
Correct, yeah.
But there's a causeway, so the 15 miles can be an hour, I know, I've spent in traffic before.
Yeah, so it's one of those situations where the Sacramento campus, is UC Davis Health campus, is really, it's the main, it's the hospital, medical school, nursing school. A little bit of business and a lot of our research, but the undergraduates and other colleges, so there's 10 colleges at UC Davis, are primarily based on the Davis campus. So it's a way of bringing all disciplines and all student environments to experience Aggie Square as a venue into the multiple focus areas for Aggie Square.
Aggie Square required the university to think differently in how it approaches partnerships and as the industry alliance officer?
Most definitely. And for years we've had space where they're co-located in a building, and we were very intentional about creating thematic areas. So if it's neuroscience, you've got the university's neuroscience researchers on a floor adjacent to the industry and focused in neuroscience. And really creating thematic, so it's not the traditional academic space assignment to a department, you know, for a period of time. Now it's more or less three deans. So like neuroscience is comprised of five school medicine departments, three in engineering, and one in biological sciences. So those deans are responsible for that footprint of neurosciences, and it'll expand and contract the various programs and projects that happen within that environment, which is, you know, faculty and departments are used to really getting their own space, and even if the funding drops down, they can use, you know, whatever policy or agreements they had to sort of stay there. This way, it's got to be vibrant and funded environment. So.
Interesting. The joke always is a university space never shrinks.
Exactly.
Right? But but now in this kind of third-party building, it gives you a different kind of tool.
Definitely. And allows us in things like vivariums and things that we typically be isolated with from industry is really opening it up to industry as a core facility. So it's allowing industry to leverage our core facilities and allowing university researchers to leverage industry's technology and core facilities.
So that's really important, particularly for startups and entrepreneurs who may not be able to afford a confocal microscope or a metabolomics core, right?
You know, it's critical. There's a lot of the equipment is so expensive, and the frequency of use is low enough to where they can't justify the purchase. But and it's really the technical expertise that comes along with that equipment, and the analysis done with the data that comes from that equipment is critical and vital to those startups and to a lot of our lab programs that learn to start sharing. And traditionally, they've shared between a couple of faculty. Now you're creating a business core that's run cost effectively. It is something that allows them to sustain the whole research core function.
So now that the building is starting to come out of the ground, what's the excitement like around Sacramento, around the campus, and around some of the industry partners?
You know, it's really, they've always been impressed with the two-dimensional plan view and then 3D renderings.
Uh-huh.
Seeing it coming out of the ground is really bringing the community together and bringing even our utility companies that had a site tour the other day looking at saying, this is an impactful project. Mm-hmm. When you're bringing in a million square feet and all the jobs and opportunities and technology and innovation that comes from that, that just the whole city becomes sort of excited about the project and ready to see it come together.
So you say community, and I know one of the things that is a bit unique is that there is a community benefits agreement in place, and that is a tri-party agreement, right? It's UC Davis, it's the city, it's Wexford, and then all of them are a party to it with the community. Has that made your job easier in terms of knowing that the community is going to be an integrated part of what's happening at Aggie Square?
Well, we always felt it was the right thing to do, but it was never in writing. So this way it gives us everybody sort of the script on how to address and how to include and what opportunities, and really gives us the long-range plan to pull that relationship together, bring us closer, but make sure it's an inclusive environment so that it's not the ivory tower that's built in a community and then shields out the neighbors.
So long-range plan is probably a great idea, because even though Aggie Square comes up, the buildings you've described, within a couple of years, there are opportunities for this concept of the Innovation District of Aggie Square to continue to grow for a decade or more, right?
At least. And they've really looked at how to expand it beyond. So Aggie Square starts the university's campus, but Sacramento's starting to look at it as like Aggie Square becomes the district within the region. Mm-hmm. So you may have another satellite, but, you know, we may build out 3 or 4 million square feet on the site, But it doesn't stop there, because that whole attitude and connection and network connectivity.
Yeah, so it really becomes a North Star for an innovation constellation.
Yeah.
So let's go back to something you said a little bit earlier, because in one of the sessions, somebody challenged the concept of corporate partnerships and the tension it creates with the academy, and kind of see corporate work as maybe selling out or compromising the academy. But I know you guys have been very careful about that.
We have, and what we found is that, you know, we don't force anybody to be an Aggie Square. It's an opportunity for those that are maybe tend to be more entrepreneurial or innovative, and but don't have the skill set, desire, passion, or time to scale and commercialize their technology. And we're finding that corporate oftentimes is limiting how much R&D they do in-house anymore. So they want to be next to, you know, and they, it's like with the startups. They don't want to read about a startup that became a unicorn. They want to be there and connected with that startup early on and leverage opportunities and licensing technology or acquiring companies early. So for us, it's the venue, the sandbox, really, for that activity to happen between the university and industry. It's not forcing any relationships or anything like that.
So you really have the opportunity to self-select. And you're finding those self-selecting tend to skew younger?
They do.
Yeah.
There's some of the other ones that surprise were that have been around for a while, but the ones that have always been innovative will always migrate and follow it. So,
final question. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Attend an AURP conference. Honestly, no, sincerely, it really changed my whole perspective. I had a lot of experience in you know, master planning of research facilities and industry partnerships and real estate and everything. But AURP is what brought me to you and others to really understand the innovation ecosystem and what it really means. It's not a collection of buildings. Anybody can build a collection of buildings, but if there's not an innovation ecosystem, an intentional design and leveraging of that region and the strengths in that region, it's not going to be successful. So that's what AURP has done for me in the last several years.
Well, we're going to be looking forward to, hopefully, an annual conference in Sacramento in a few years.
We're looking at 2025 for the international conference.
Would be amazing, so stay tuned. Well, Mark, thank you so much. It's always great to catch up with you at AURP or anywhere.
Great, Tom. Thank you as well.
Oh, my gosh. My pleasure. So my guest this afternoon has been Mark Romney, who is the Chief Industry Alliance Officer for the University of California, Davis, and one of the visionaries behind Aggie Square. I'm Tom Osha, and this is The Commons, coming to you from AURP 2022 in Toronto. The Commons is a production of Wexford Science and Technology, LLC. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests. To view additional material about today's episode or guest, submit questions or story ideas, or to learn more about Wexford Science and Technology, please visit www.wexfordscitech.com/insights. You can subscribe to The Commons on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I'm your host, Tom Osha. Thank you for listening.